FCUM Radio, FC and Community United.
Hi, good morning, Linda. How
good
are
morning,
you?
Good morning.
I'm Christine
fine.
Barker from FCUM Radio. This is
Yulan Yang. Welcome to our lovely radio.
And my name is Andrea. Thank you for coming, taking the time to come here.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, getting down to business.
Getting down to business.
Tell us, what is the history of Save Ancoats Dispensary?
I think I can go back to 2011, when I personally found out, having my roots are in Ancoats, you see, so I'd worked in Ancoats for Manchester Social Services, so I knew all about Ancoats, having been a patient, and my family having been patients there. And I just accepted that when I saw it, when I was travelling around the district and it was surrounded by scaffolding, that something was being done. And then I moved away from Manchester, but came back to find that I'd joined an Ancoats residence forum. I wanted to get involved back into the community again, but I was living in Ancoats. And I went to a meeting where the plan for New Islington was put up on a kind of board. There was a presentation going on. And I couldn't see anywhere the hospital or any part of the dispensary in these future plans. So I queried this at the meeting, and I found out that it was going to be demolished. Mm. Of course, that kind of shook me a little bit, even though I didn't show it at the meeting. And I thought, well, you know, this is a Grade 2 listed building, mm-hmm. you know, surely there should have been public consultation about this.
Right.
So I started to sort of make inquiries, you know, with a local council and stuff like that. And I went down to the planning department when I knew the Ancoats dispensary was coming up for discussion. And I objected. I was one of the objectors as a resident. This is how it began, you see.
Right.
So I objected to say that there'd not been enough public consultation about it, and that people needed time to express their concerns about the demolition
of
this very famous building, which had led the world in first fracture clinic in the world. It was a training hospital for a lot of people who went on to do great things and meant a lot to the people of the local area. So this grew into not just me then, other people that became interested in local history. And they all contacted me, and we did our first radio broadcast on, I think it was North Manchester FM, with the Reverend David Gray.
Right.
Okay.
Okay,
to sort of publicise this a little bit.
Yeah.
And so eventually we held a public meeting. We got enough people concerned about it. An advert went in the Manchester Evening News. We held a public meeting with the then Manchester Central MP, Tony Lloyd. And, of course, everybody listened. And at the end of the meeting, they all put the names down as wanting to be part of the group to save it. So, and that was fine. And
so who were those that put their name down to?
There were a lot of local people, but people also from outside the local area, maybe South Manchester, who had heard about it. Of course, it was very much a campaign.
Right.
It was realising that this had to be a grassroots campaign, that we're fighting against something that we felt that local people were powerless to stop.
And now
okay,
you feel it.
Very, very different now.
Right.
But then, that's how it was. Well, I've got to tell you about how it was,
yes,
to see where we've
where
landed up now.
Of course.
So
that was 2011.
2011. Now we're into early 2012. We're into 2012 now. Maybe early May 2012. So during this time, we're sort of gathering support, finding out a little bit more about what's happening, going down to the planning committee, etc. And still, it's delayed. So there's obviously concern about it. We contacted all the people that had been at the public meeting, and we held like an emergency meeting at the Mustard Tree down Bengal Street. And it was there, really, that fight to save the dispensary was born. So at the beginning, it was fight to save the dispensary, because we felt it was a fight.
Yeah.
And we realise now that if it meant people surrounding the building to stop the bulldozers doing whatever they were going to do, this is what had to happen. And somebody suggested at the meeting that a vigil was formed outside the building. every day to make sure that this didn't happen and to alert people. We had like a telephone tree where we'd alert people to what was happening if we saw that any road signs were being put up. Right. You know, we'd alert the population.
Yes, of
so course. Thousands of people were going to encircle the building. So this is what happened in effect. A vigil, which is still there now, a vigil was set up at the side of the outside the dispensary with banners and all sorts of placards. And every day people were on a rota. At least four or five people were there every day. That was throughout the whole of 2012. And a petition was started from, this is about June, July. And we got over 5,000 signatures, which all went down to the Secretary of State. Well, Manchester City Council were placed in a very, very difficult position. You know, it was owned by a developer who had intended to regenerate this particular area and redevelop the dispensary into perhaps accommodation, you know, residential accommodation to fit in with the rest of the area. And, of course, late 1980s, through the 90s, the funding had started to dry up.
Yeah,
so he was left in a position of having this Grade 2 listed building, which was becoming more and more dilapidated, and nobody wanted to take it on because it's a massive restoration job. What was he to do? He tried to sell it. Of course, nobody wanted it because it would cost millions of pounds to put right. So he'd applied to the City Council for demolition. And of course, as far as the council were concerned, you know, what else could be done with it? Because we weren't around at that time. There was nobody to take it on. No Preservation Society would take it on. English Heritage had come to the end of their... They have no money to take on a building like that. So what were they to do, really? So we were in the position of we'd raised all. So we got all the signatures back, and then we handed those in to the City Council, right, so that they would see just how strong people felt about this. One of the members of the group does a blog, a history blog, and this woman called Angela was blogging, and Ancoats Dispensary was part of the part of the blog. And she said, I'm very interested, this woman said, I'm very interested in this building, could I come down and see it? Now, it turns out that she was the president of the Royal Institute of British Architects, and she'd heard about this building. So one day, on her way to Dubai, she called at Ancoats Dispensary for about 10 minutes, just to have a look round it, and said, well, I know just the person that could support you in this. And so she gave us the name of this architect and said, I think he'll be very, very interested in helping you in your cause kind of thing. Because I agree, this is a beautiful building. It could be restored. It's not the end of it. And it's a Grade 2 listed. It's part of the historic fabric of this community. Played a very important part during the Industrial Revolution. Was pre-NHS, so a very interesting medical history. So we said, oh, this is fantastic, you know. So then we met this chap, this architect, and things then started to take on... We went on to another level then, because this man obviously had contacts, and very important contacts, influential contacts, who were also very concerned about the dispensary. So we've now managed to liaise with English Heritage, the developer himself, the City Council, other conservation societies, and in May of this year, of course, you've got to remember, of course, that members of the group were still in campaign mode, were still in, we've got to fight now. Now, the great change has been, if we're going to look as though we're capable of managing this building, then we've got to present a different kind of image. So slowly but surely, it's taken months to do this. We've sort of professionalised, if you like, our kind of meetings and who we invite, who we connect with, all this kind of thing. So
by this time, had the group decided what they want to be in ANCOATS. If they had any idea what
so,
they'd like to have.
Yeah, so early February, because we realised, of course, that a public consultation had to take place, because, okay, we had the petition, but we hadn't, nobody had actually asked local people, you know, what they wanted. So we formulated general questions, really. But then at the end of it, we said, for you to say, for you to tell us, if there's nothing on here that you that appeals to you or you don't think any of them are a good idea,
tell
us what you want. Now, from that, we'd produce, it now goes into a spreadsheet. So we've got a spreadsheet about the community questionnaire. And overall, the majority of people, about 99% of people said they weren't quite sure what they wanted, but they wanted it for the community. That was the overall response. They also wanted a cafe. They thought a cafe was a great idea, a lot of them. They also wanted a place that was, they felt that working class history was being destroyed. So they wanted it preserved so that people would know about the history of the hospital and the people from that area. So several things came up. I mean, one of my questions that I put on the questionnaire was, I thought it was a brilliant idea and hardly anybody wanted it. And it, I know, this is how it gets, rejection. You get used to it. Because in the area, glassmaking had been absolutely at full tilt in the sort of, late 19th century, early 20th century. And I thought, how fantastic to have a furnace in there, right? Because local schools could get involved, you know, seeing how glass was blown and made and all this kind of, it would be a selling point, it would be a choice.
No.
But even the university said they have to travel to St Helens to use a furnace. Once they qualified doing their art and design, maybe in glass or ceramics or whatever, they have got to travel to St Helens to get a furnace. So I thought, Manchester people having to travel St Helens when we've got a dispensary here that could be... Anyway, that whole idea was gone. It's been put out. The flames of the furnace have been put out on that one. But so overall, the overall percentage of people said they wanted it for the community. They wanted a cafe. They wanted something for young people. But also what came out through our research as well and from local GPs was there's a massive amount of mental health problems within that area. So we thought, well, that's something that needs addressing. Mm. If that's showing up as a need in that area, then we need to address it. So we've now engaged with Manchester Mind, who run cafes but have placements for people with mental health difficulties, you know, within the cafe environment. So it's not only will they be volunteering, but maybe gaining skills, building up a bit of confidence, etc., etc. So at the moment, that's an ongoing sort of exploration. But that's the idea, you see. So we've had to change from a campaign group, and it became Save ANCOATS Dispensary. So fight was the word that was
lost. Started it, and now it's saving it.
Yeah. So here we are now. In May, this conservation architect managed to get round a table similar to this, the developer, Manchester City Council, Homes and Communities Agency, English Heritage, the Planning Department, ourselves and the architect, and we spread out on the table a credible plan and design of how it may not look like this particular design, but It showed a kind of sense of where we were aiming for. We were aspirational, that this community group had started from grassroots level, but had engaged with a variety of organisations that were all very, very interested and very supportive. And to get those people around a table, this was in May of this year, it was quite incredible. Everybody agreed around that table, and this was the idea, of course, that once you're around a table and you listen to this credible and sustainable plan, why wouldn't anybody be interested in it? So at that meeting, the developer then agreed that, and of course he said, if only this group would have been around when he was looking for somebody to come over. But obviously we weren't there at that time. So following that meeting, we then had a meeting with we found out that the Heritage Lottery Fund, for the very first time, their funding has been divided into two strands. One is heritage, so people can apply for funding for purely heritage grounds, and one is heritage and enterprise. And that's the route that we've gone down, because we want this building to sustain itself. We want it to be
a social enterprise
run for, absolutely, yeah, for generations, yeah, to come into ad infinitum, so without having to ask for any more money.
So where are you now?
Where we're now is that the Heritage Lottery Fund, we applied for a start-up grant to allow us to develop a legal structure and to get governance in place with our partners, who are Igloo Regeneration, mm-hmm, developer. We've got AWOL Studios. I don't know whether you've heard of them, but these are creative industries in Hope, nice, Mill, with tons, yeah, of artists, yeah, desperate for studio space. Yeah. They're going to take the first and second floors of the dispensary, leaving the ground floor for the community. Okay, so we've got rental from the artists on the first and second floor, and the ground floor for community space, which it will be the cafe, and a flexible space for people who want to hire rooms at a reasonable rent for social enterprises, for meeting rooms for people. Along with that, there's got to be like a rolling heritage programme. Right. So heritage is involved, but it's not the main function of the building. Mm-hmm. Now, so we applied for a start-up grant of £10,000. Yeah. Am I okay for time,
yes,
or am I running
right,
out of time?
You're fine.
Right. Okay.
You're fine.
That's,
I know.
Fascinating.
I know. So
how far we've come. You know.
How far? It's incredible.
Yeah.
It, because everybody
such a short
said you'll
time,
never do
actually.
It.
Actually.
Yeah.
It's from 2011.
Yeah, late 2011.
Late,
yeah, really.
Now it's just a short space of time.
It's
to
just
have so
amazing.
Many people come on board.
It's just amazing.
Your grants that you, the application that's been granted, is
that's
that
been
right?
approved.
Yes.
So we've got the beginnings now of a legal. We're starting legal structures with our solicitors in Manchester. We had our first meeting last week. There's a cherry picker going into the inside of the building shortly, so a structural engineer can have a look at what remains inside, what can be salvaged, how dangerous it is, what can be left upstanding, what needs to be secured. So that is quite amazing. From going from the point of, you'll never do it.
Yeah.
You'll never do it. It's coming
it's
down. I don't know why you're bothering.
Yeah, especially when there's a stage, you'll find out when they're going to demolish it. Mm. It's so close.
Yeah.
And I personally feel that that's really incredible, because normally when council go down that route, it's very difficult to turn it around.
Absolutely. But the developer himself has agreed, after this meeting, he said, I will agree to withdraw my application for demolition and allow this group to see how far they can get in getting funding. Now, the important thing that's happening at the moment is we're now proceeding towards the application for a submission for stage one funding, which is massive. Now, the application itself is very, very hard. There are about a core of about four of us working on the application, and that's got to be the business plan. We've got to have statements of evidence of people who are going to support it, like the Mind Cafe. It's got to be sustainable. They want to see plans, they want to see costings, they want to see everything.
Yeah,
because
it's a proper business plan, not just saying
absolutely.
Who's there to support you with that? Because that's a massive job for yourself.
Well, this is another thing. We've got what is called a community advocate. Now, this woman used to be a director of Locality, which is an organisation that supports local communities throughout the regions. She has now her own consultancy called Jericho Road Solutions. Although she's based in Hastings, she still comes up to Manchester to see other groups, but particularly ours. Now, she was involved in the saving of Hastings Pier, which was, again, a massive local campaign. Slightly different in the makeup of people that she was involved, but still a similar kind of grassroots organisation. So she is advising us on the application. So drafts are submitted to her. She comes back. She said that, you know, I think this is a very interesting project.
So Linda, if someone wanted to help support, what could they do? What give us some details on...
Right, okay. Well, at the moment, we're trying to build a membership. Now, we're coming up with a membership form that everybody's happy with. And once that's completed, that will go onto our website. I can give you the name of the website as it is at present. That may change because we're in the process of becoming a trust. That just means a change of name.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we'll
as
be...
As opposed to... Save Ancoats Dispensary, it will be
Ancoats Dispensary Trust.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that will mean a different website,
and it has a good ring to it.
It has a good because it places it.
Yes.
It places the building, and the word trust is kind of But the website at the moment is www.saveancoatsdispensary.com. So the membership form will go up onto the website. Yeah. We're also trying to create. Where the vigil is at the moment, obviously, at the moment it's like a shack. It's so primitive, you know, it's unbelievable. All the wood is now warped and, you know, over a winter. Now another winter's approaching. So we're trying to get a more weatherproofed place where people can go.
Yeah.
So we'll change that. It'll become an information point. Mm-hmm. Because the word vigil, again, is linked to what it was originally. So this is now...
And the progress of where it is now.
Yeah, it's becoming an information point because we get people from all over the world to come into this place, visit there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So if someone wanted to, if at some point, they wanted to visit your information booth that's coming up, they can just walk there and present the form and...
Absolutely. And you can get some information from there. People will talk to you about it. Now, the thing is, we're enlisting... We're not in a position at the moment. We're getting volunteers who can maybe offer certain skills, like in social media. Mm. We've started to get interview people for social media because we know that that's the way to go to really get it out there. But a lot of people are interested. But at the moment, we don't want people to come on board when there's nothing for them to do because we haven't got a place that's decent enough at the moment to...
Using the vigil, are you still having a vigil outside the...
It's still there from 12 till 3 every day. Right. Yeah, and we're hoping to get a joiner and an engineer to do us something similar because ultimately we want a porter cabin there.
Right.
We want a porter cabin where people can come, which is more civilised, and they can come and they can have a cup of tea and they can see photographs and they can talk about, you know, the progress so far.
Thank you, Linda. There's so much information and it's quite a good thing, and we can't wait to hear for you to come back so we can hear what next is going on.
Okay. Right. Yeah, Linda, I personally find this really interesting whole thing because obviously the whole story about saving ankles is important, but personally I feel like more audience will be interested about, for example, how personally you can go against the big bureaucracy, you know, especially when the demolition notice is already on your door, you can still turn around. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Don't ever think you can't change anything.
Wonderful.
But obviously you can't do it on your own.
Of course.
You've got to get other people interested, and also you've got to have a vision.
That's another reason to have you back again. A very good reason to have you back again.
Okay.